decided to make a second service because they have a big family, and so we didn't think we'd all fit otherwise. So if any of you are able to stay, that'd be wonderful, and if not, we'll certainly wish them well in our prayers this morning. Thanks also to all those that helped out and attended the Valentine's Day dinner last night. That went well, I heard, so lots of good food there as well. It's even a little chocolate fountain, so I don't know if we can maybe get that for the office, but maybe Gary can look into that, or Jenny, so
Please rise as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, the resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son, and illumine the world with your image. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We believe God's kingdom is coming, and we are invited to play an active part in that coming, right here, right now, every day, with the acts of love that we do for our neighbors. Last week, Pastor mentioned about doors, and there's a part in the song that says, God put a million, million doors in the world for his love to walk through, and one of those doors is you. So it reminds us that for every daily activity that we do, we need to do it with love so that it points to Jesus being the Lord of our life.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning is from the second book of Kings. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into the heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see them, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. The word of the Lord. Our psalm this morning is from Psalm 50, and we will read responsively. The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken, calling the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty, God shines forth in glory. Our God will come and will not keep silence, with a consuming flame before and round about a raging storm. God calls the heavens and the earth from above to witness the judgment of the people. Gather before me, my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice. The heavens declare the righteousness of God's cause, for it is God who is judge. Our second reading this morning is from the book of Corinthians. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise as you are able for the reading of the gospel.
Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I would wager that many of you sitting here this morning, whether as part of a job in an office or if you've served on various groups and committees, have been subject to, have endured various icebreaker activities where you sit around in a circle, tell about, you know, where you were born, maybe where you went to school, what your favorite color is. And then, of course, one of the favorite questions to really mix things up is, tell us something about yourself that you've never told anyone before. And you got to think of a story that's not too offensive, but it's also creative enough to be of some interest to other people. So it's a, you know, as much as I tease about it, it's not a bad way to find out people's different hobbies, sort of strange interests, maybe a past in surfboarding, you know, like I'm sure in Steve's history, prolific surfboarder. It's possible. You never know. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, you just never know when you sit sometimes in these groups of people. So, in the spirit of that, being relatively new here, I'm going to ruin my one big go-to, something that nobody knows about me, though maybe I've told some of you, so that I could be screwing up already, but my standard response is that me, Pastor James Muskie, for 5 to 6 years of my life, spent time playing in an Indonesian gamelan ensemble. Now, many are probably all of you are asking, what is an Indonesian gamelan ensemble? It is, I'll probably have to describe it because it is hard to explain exactly if you've never seen it. It's a musical ensemble. It's mostly percussive, so that was part of what drew me to it in the first place, as being a drummer in school. It is a large ensemble with primarily bronze instruments. A lot of them look like sort of xylophones on steroids, big, heavy bronze instruments. You hit them with a big wooden mallet. You could, you know, if you ever need to defend yourself, having one of these in your pocket wouldn't be such a bad idea. In fact, some of them actually have mallets made out of horns, and so you have to be careful on the backstroke not to, you know, poke an eyeball out. There's some instruments that are large bronze pots tipped upside down, and there's a little bezel on it that you strike with another. It's like a thick drumstick wrapped in string. And you, of course, you sit around it on the floor, cross-legged, so you need to kind of do a little bit of yoga before you join the gamelan. You got to take your shoes off, so you know you need to make sure you have clean socks on. And then, of course, there are large gongs. Only the biggest gong is called the gong. The rest are kimpools, and so there's all these fun names, and you get to learn. You know, the main body of instruments is called the balungan, which is an Indonesian word which means bones, right? So it's the melody, it's the bones of the ensemble. And it's an amazing thing, kind of has an otherworldly sound. Part of what makes it sound so strange is that it actually uses a different tuning scale. It's not A, B, C, D, E, F, G, as in our tuning scale. It uses its own tuning scale. In fact, it uses two tuning scales. If you ever were to go to a gamelan concert, perhaps one down in the cities where I played with for a few years, I also played it during college, you'll actually notice two sets of instruments often sitting at right angles to one another because one is in one tuning scale, pelog, which is a 7-note scale, and one in slendro, which is a 5-note scale. So you're learning all kinds of ethnomusicology this morning. I hope you're taking notes. There will be a test later on. But it's a fun sort of, kind of just a different way to stretch your mind as a musician. That's another thing I really loved about it. And one of the other amazing things, too, is you know, I'm not sure I would have kept on with it. I took a class for one semester, and I enjoyed the class. But, you know, there are plenty of other things. I mean, that's the great thing about college, right? You go and you explore all kinds of different things. And so I bet I maybe would have moved on. You know, I would have, you know, joined the steel drum band or, you know, taken up photography or something else, except for one moment. Near the end of the year, after our class was mostly finished, of course, the instructor invited us to attend the recital or the concert given by the upper-level ensemble-only students. And one of the things, too, that made that concert so different was that gamelan often, certainly it'll play by itself, it'll give concerts, and it's, you know, it would be in the court palaces of Indonesia, it would be in the local villages, but they would often accompany either dance, and so you'd have women in these, you know, beautiful costumes, and they do these kind of intricate dances, they would, like, be able to move their fingers in time with it, I don't know, it was amazing. Or sometimes there'd be male dancers, and they'd often be, like, a kind of a military dance. We accompanied once a gentleman who had a giant ceremonial spear that he kind of danced with and did different motions. But one of the other things that gamelan often accompanies is shadow puppetry, Indonesian shadow puppetry called wayang. And wayang is perhaps one of the other great pillars of Indonesian culture along with gamelan. And so I went to this concert at the end of the year, and there was a gamelan kind of pushed to the back of the stage on this great sort of smaller venue that Cornell had on campus. And then in front of them was the puppet master, the dalang, as it might be called. And then there was a big white sheet, a big screen. And then all of behind it, all of his puppets. And so, you know, it was gamelan, puppet master, bright light, and then, you know, the screen, and then the audience all kind of around it like that. And it's amazing to see this puppet show. It's not quite like, you know, friendly little puppet shows. It's, you know, we often hear that Indonesia is the most populous Muslim country in the world, but actually the reality of Indonesia is much more complex and complicated because the stories that they tell are from the Hindu epics and folk tales and legends and stuff. And so they have all these different puppets, these flat puppets made out of buffalo hide, and the puppet master kind of tells a story and he twirls them around and he sticks them in a foam to hold them, and he's got all these different puppets going all different times. And to kind of keep time, he kind of will rap on a little box to cue in the music to start playing, and the drums and the gamelan and everything like that. And it's, you know, more than just tell the story, it also is a way to do, he incorporates a lot of humor, he'll incorporate current events, it's kind of a little bit of public commentary as well. It's this amazing experience to watch it. So if you can ever get down for one of these things. You know, it is a little bit odd, it's a little bit different, but it was a very amazing experience. And when I had seen it for this first time, live and in person, to sort of add to the wonder of that evening was, it was literally a dark and stormy night. So, you know, there's this strange music, there's the shadow puppetry, and then in the background there's lightning and thunder kind of flashing through the windows. And as is tradition in Indonesia, you know, rather than just a typical American concert where you just kind of have to sit there the whole time and you can't get up and you can't cough. Indonesian concerts, you would get up, you can move around, you can peek behind the screen and see what they're doing. I mean, you can't walk on stage, that would be a little inappropriate, but you can get up, you can change your seats. And it was just this amazing, powerful experience. It was just, I remember just sort of going home in a bit of a daze, just sort of struck silent, struck dumb, and just, I'm like, I need to do this some more. I need to check this out some more, you know. And so after that, I was, every year in college, I was part of the ensemble. After I moved back here to Minnesota, there's actually a group down in Minneapolis that meets near the University of Minnesota. And it was quite something. You know, and it's interesting. Today we have the story of the Transfiguration. And, you know, as a young pastor, you try to like dive into all the biblical references about the stories of Elijah and Moses and what the significance of them are being there, and you try to just parse out what maybe Mark is trying to say or the different gospel writers are trying to say in this moment. And then
I don't know if it's just out of laziness or maybe just as a growth as a pastor, you think, just take it easy, right? Maybe this moment is just about the moment. It's about this moment of wonder and awe, about being bowled over by an experience. And I think if we are fortunate in our life, if we live our lives to the fullest, hopefully we experience at least a few of these moments that we can treasure throughout our lives. Whether it's a musical concert, an experience of strange music or of your favorite band, or it's a gathering of some sort, or you're out in nature, you're up on a mountaintop, right? Maybe there's not Jesus there in dazzling clothes exactly, but you behold some beautiful vista, you know, and it just, there's just no words that you can really put to it. You just are in this moment and you can feel the presence of God and you can marvel at God's creation. And I think about these disciples and, you know, they've been with Jesus for a little while now. They've seen healings. They've heard him teach these amazing lessons. And yet it's probably also, of course, always very complicated, right? There's some way that he's challenging them. He's challenging the people of that time. And you know, and then there's all these issues of clean and unclean and all these things that have to at least be pinging a few things in their head and making them kind of like, oh, a little uncomfortable, and just sort of taking them out of the wonder of the moment. And then there's this time when a few of them are lucky enough to come up with Jesus on the mountain. And it's just wonder. It's just awe. And they're still a little confused, of course, as is often the case with the disciples. But they are just struck silent. They're just in the wonder of God, the glory of God. And I think we long for that experience in our lives, and we look for it in a number of moments, and we feel it sometimes, even when we're least expecting it. Sometimes even in moments of sadness and tragedy, of grief, right? And we just, still, even with that sadness, maybe it's the presence of family, maybe it's certain prayers or certain hymns, we're just moved beyond words. And yet, of course, there are plenty of other moments when they are more joyous, when we're out in nature, when we're at a baptism, when we're at the birth of a child or at a wedding or some other celebration where we join together. But we just hopefully can take a moment to appreciate the wonder of God. Because we need those moments. As much as I'm a lover of the ordinary and the everyday moments, we need those moments of transcendence. I think we've talked about that a little bit too before. We need these moments, and we need to hopefully cultivate them as a congregation, right? We need those candlelight Christmas services. We need those Easter morning services where all of a sudden, after the gloom of Good Friday, we burst into the color and the light of Easter morning, and it moves us. Hopefully it moves us. If the worship and music committee is doing their job, right, it moves us. It's all on Jim, you know. If it doesn't move it, it's Jim's fault. See, I'm learning, right? Praise team, you got to give Jim a hard time. That's part of being the praise team. You got to give Jim a hard time. So if you ever just want to join just to give Jim a hard time, they'll always look for more members. But no, we do need these moments of wonder and awe in our lives. And hopefully when we are in the middle of them, we do take that time to just sit and be quiet and enjoy the amazing God that we have, who gives us all kinds of wonderful opportunities, who gives us wonderful gifts of love, who gives us moments of wonder and awe to just sit and enjoy. Amen.
Thank you.
crucified and died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident that our God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For the ministry of the gospel, proclaimed in word and deed, for congregations near and far, and for all who show the face of Christ throughout the world, let us pray. Mercy, O God. For the well-being of creation, for plants and animals, seas and skies, and creatures seen and unseen, that all may be guided by your Holy Spirit to be stewards of our earth, let us pray. Mercy, O God. For firefighters and police officers, attorneys and advocates, civil servants and corporate executives, and leaders of governments, that through their insight and patience, peace and justice prevail throughout the world, let us pray. Mercy, O God. For all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, that as Christ was transfigured on the mountaintop, sickness will be turned into health, loneliness into compassion, bereavement into consolation, and suffering into assurance. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For companions who accompany us on our journeys through life, for this community of faith that supports us, and for guidance during difficult times, that we see the glory of God revealed around us, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Today, O God, we lift up in prayer the family of Bev Fertelman and all of her friends and loved ones that mourn her passing, that you may be with all of them, that you show them the comfort of your love that you showed Bev throughout her life. And, O God, we also lift up in prayer today Callahan and Lionel, who are to be baptized in just a little while, that you may surround them with your love on this day and in all the days of their life to come. And now, O God, we lift up all those other prayers that are on our hearts, that are in our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. In thanksgiving for the faithful departed who now rest from their earthly pilgrimage, that their lives of service and prayer inspire us in our days, let us pray. Mercy, O God. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with one another. The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Our closing hymn is All the People Said Amen. So I know you know this. It's based on 1 Chronicles 16:34 through 36. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said amen and praise the Lord. George, would you put the lights down, please? We do have one little technical thing here. There'll be one line that's not on there, so just try to sing along with us. And this is all due to Val.
That's why there's technical difficulties. In case I need to remind you about Harlow's funeral and Bonanza going off.
You got to leave.